There are four classes of good men, and there are four classes of bad men also. So Krishna talks in Bhagavad Gita, four classes of men. So Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita in chapter 7, 16th verse. He talks about first 15th verse, he talks about bad, and then 16th he talks about good. The fourth class of good men acknowledge the authority of Almighty God, and therefore such good men are one when they are in difficulty. So according to Lord, it's people who are artha, difficulty. When they are in need of money, artha arti, the Lord is written in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.16. When they are advanced in knowledge, jnanis, and when I am inquisitive to know more and more about God, and inquisitively take shelter of the Lord, which is jignas. As such, Narada advises Vyasadeva to broadcast the transcendental knowledge of God in terms of the vast Vedic knowledge which he has already attained. As far as bad men are concerned, they are also four in number. First one, those who are simply addicted to the mode of progressive fruity work and thus are subjected to the accompanying miseries. Mudas. Those who are simply addicted to the vicious work for sense satisfaction and so suffer the consequences. Naradhana. Those who are materially very much advanced in knowledge but who suffer because they do not have the sense to acknowledge the authority of the Almighty God. There, Mayaya or Aparita, and the class of men who are known as atheists, who therefore purposely hate the very name of God, although they are always in difficulty. They have asuras. Finally, Narada Muni is concluding here. Sri Narada Ji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the God just to do good to all eight classes of men, both good and bad. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his own welfare and peace of mind. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada's Instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. O Ajnana Timarandasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamyam Tasmai Shri Guruvede Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamani Tadatiswa Kadamukam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivatari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna. So, in the purport, you know, the Lord is, Srila Prabhupada is describing about the four classes of people who are bad and four classes of people who are good. Because as described by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is narrating that. And for all classes of people, transcendental knowledge is the source. That's the only way to get out. And also, Srila Prabhupada says, this glory of the Lord, it is not meant for any particular class of men or sects, you know, which means it is suitable for all kinds of person, which is beyond all designation, you know. Like Srila Prabhupada always says, you know, this is not meant for Christian or Hindu or Muslim. You know. So this is beyond bodily designation, because Srimad Bhagavatam is approaching the soul. It's got nothing to do with the body. So when you go beyond body, which is soul, then there's no difference, you know, man, woman, Muslim, Christian. Everything is beyond. And also, here it is said, the last verse, you know, it says, Sri Narada Ji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord just to do good to God, eight classes of men. Okay? The glories of the Lord. So is the glories of the Lord so powerful? Right? Then ask the question, no? Why the glories of the Lord is so powerful? Now, interesting enough, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, 9th verse, the Lord himself is saying about his glories, you know. He's saying, of course, it starts with Machitta Martita Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam. Kate Katayan Chescha Ma Nityam Tushyam Chita Brahman Ticha. Lord is saying, my devotees, they talk about my glories. Right? And for doing so, they get great transcendental happiness and satisfaction. The Lord himself is saying, you know, and they would like to converse, you know, with one another about my glories. See, the Lord himself is saying, you know, how his glories is so important, and his devotees like to talk about him. So Krishna has realized that, you know, that's what he is saying for the Gita. Further, let us see what the pure devotee of the Lord is saying to this, you know. Let us see what the pure devotee of the Lord is saying, you know. Shri Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 1, the characteristics of pure devotee, the characteristics of pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami has quoted many verses. So this is the one verse I've taken, in which actually Rupa Goswami, when he speaks, right, he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He doesn't speak anything else. So this is from, again, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.6, where Devahuti is addressing her son, Kapila Deva. He is saying, my dear Lord, there are 9 different kinds of devotional service, beginning from hearing and chanting. Anyone who hears about your pastime, who chant about your glories, who offers you obeisances, who thinks of you, and in this way executes any of the 9 kinds of devotional service, even if he is born in the family of dog eaters, within brackets, the lowest grade of mankind, simply immediately qualifies to perform sacrifices. And also, the next statement is, as such, for anyone who is actually engaged in devotional service, in full Krishna consciousness, as without any doubt, can free from all material contamination and sinful reactions. So what to speak of a devotee? Even a dog eater, the lowest of the mankind, okay? Even if he starts listening to the glories of the Lord, he gets purified. Then what to speak of the devotees? Rupa Goswami is saying, who are continuously, you know, hearing the Lord's pastime and chanting the Lord's name. So they'll get completely, you know, we can be rest assured that we can be free from the material contamination and sinful reaction. Because one may think, why sinful reaction? Because right now we may be stopping from material reaction. Okay? Material contamination, we are stopping. But what about the reactions which we have done in the past life or before becoming a devotee? That is there, right? That has to go slowly. So this is a process. So one may think, yes, I'm a devotee now. I'm not interacting with the material energy. I'm not getting any sin. But what about the sins we have accrued so far in the past life or even before becoming? So that will be also wiped. So Rupa Goswami is getting a promise, basically. Then, why people in general are interested in sense gratification, not Krishna conscious? We may again ask that question, right? Now, again, Rupa Goswami, again from the same chapter 1 of Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami quotes another evidence in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is 4.22.39, where Sanat Kumara, the son of Brahma, is addressing Prithu Maharaj. He's saying, my dear king, very, very important verse. The false ego of a human being is so strong that it keeps him in material existence, as if tied by a strong rope. The false ego. Only the devotees can cut off the knot of the strong rope very easily by engaging themselves in Krishna consciousness. Others who are not in Krishna conscious but are trying to become great mystics or great ritual performers cannot advance like the devotees. Therefore, it is a duty of everyone to regard himself in activities of Krishna conscious in order to be free from the tight knot of false ego and engagement in material activities. Now this tight knot of false ego is due to ignorance. Because one thinks that I am the body. That's a basic foundation. We have this from the beginning. You know. From the beginning, you know, we are born. We don't have any transcendental knowledge. So what we think, we are the body, we'll enjoy the senses. Fair enough. The body has got senses. So that is why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to differentiate that is known as transcendental knowledge. The Lord is speaking, he's not speaking mundane. The Lord is speaking transcendental knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Which means the difference between body and soul. Who else can tell? Otherwise, you know, we'll be continuing with the body. You know, body platform. So the Lord is saying, no, there's a difference between body and soul. You are a spirit soul because the body is a combination of gross and subtle material elements. So we are spirit soul. So as a soul, you progress towards Krishna consciousness and practice the science of self-realization. So Krishna consciousness is a process wherein we are moving from bodily platform to the soul platform. So we cannot leave this any time. One may think, okay, now I'm happy. I'm doing Krishna conscious. If you leave, again come back to the body platform. Again the whole point is defeated. So it is a lifelong process. The moment you stop Krishna conscious, that means you're not in contact with the Lord, who is completely spiritual in nature. We are a combination of the soul and matter, right? So the process of Krishna conscious slowly takes us from the bodily platform to Krishna conscious. That is why day in and day out we have to be in touch with the Lord's energy. Otherwise, again we'll go back. And also it is said that why do people have this problem? That's a question is essentially because they are in ignorance, you know. They are misled that they are the body. And hence they are doing the wrong thing, which should not be done. The whole thing Lord Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita is senses and sense object attraction. That is the cause of misery. So the Lord is saying, and the Rupa Goswami is saying, which is basically the Lord's statement, that one should not be entangled in material condition. That's because of interaction with the senses and the sense object, because one thinks that he is a body, and that is happening because of ignorance. Which Rupa Goswami is saying that it's like a tight knot. It looks as if someone is tying you, no? It's not. That is the role of a false ego. So, again, in Padma Purana, you know, there is a statement which is confirmed, right? It says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the highest enlightenment. And when such enlightenment is there, it is just like a blazing forest fire, killing all the inauspicious snakes of desire. So desire is a root cause of our existence. So pure devotional service will cut off all your inauspicious snakes of desire. Why does it say snakes of desire? Padma Purana is quoting that. There is a deeper meaning there. Because what happens in the forest, there are many animals, okay? The moment there is a fire, all animals can run away. But the snake cannot run, it has to crawl. By the time it crawls, it will be burned. So, the Padma Purana is not taking any chance. He is saying, like a snake, how it is burned. Likewise, it will be burned. No, it's absolutely a confirmed statement of Padma Purana. He says that, you know, that all your desires, right, which is venomous desires, inauspicious desires, will be completely rooted out, taken out by the process of pure devotional service. Loving service to the Lord. So, what we understand from this? We understand from this that we have to decrease our material desire and increase our spiritual desire. Isn't it? See, it's very difficult to get rid of the material desire, right? All of a sudden. Because we are embodied, that's what Krishna says. So, it goes slowly. See, by practicing Krishna consciousness, slowly the material desire will come down. And the spiritual desire will go up. Srila Prabhupada gives an example. He says, when we are on the ground, on the floor, right, we see tall buildings. Right? It's very difficult. You can't even comprehend how tall. Some may be 20 floor, some may be, you know, 50 floor and all that. And very, very buildings, you know, it's very, very difficult to see. But the moment you start going, you know, overseas in a flight, and when you see from the flight, it looks very tall, like Lego toys, isn't it? Very small. So spiritual life is like that. Srila Prabhupada does not talk to you. But people who practice, they know. Spiritual life is taking off in a flight. You're going off, you know. So when you go off, you see everything is so tiny. Once upon a time, it was very big, like a skyscraper building. But now, it is so tiny, it's very easy you can leave. That is the nature of the pure devotion service. It's very, very easy. So, Krishna says, as we said, in material desire, or lust desire, whatever it may be, where is it stored? There is a desire, you know. Okay? Then I say, okay, I can say that I am not free from material desire. Even I have got material desire, whatever it may be. Now, where is the desire stored? Krishna has given. See, who can give us more information than Lord Krishna himself, you know? Everything is clear. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 3.40, the places where the lusty desires are stored. How easy, you know. He has given everything, he has given the process. And he has given, you know, that gives us a good understanding. And so one will not sin, you know. Here, Krishna explained, the sitting places of lusty desires are the senses. Or the senses, the mind and the intelligence. So the lusty desire is sitting there, waiting. And the mind wants sense gratification. So mind will be pushing the senses. Go, take that, do that. You know? So it's sitting there. And how that gets purified? By the process of devotion service. So by devotion process, by the process of devotion service, all the lusty desires get purified. Because your senses get purified. Because Krishna is the master of the senses. Rishikesh Rishikesha Eva Sevana Bhakti Puchyate. So how do we do that? You know, if it is engaged in senses, mind and intelligence, how do we clear the desires? So, if you do some Krishna's activity, you know, spiritual activity, Krishna conscious activity, which is, you know, working and seeing and all that, then the senses will be purified. And by chanting, the mind will be purified, Mahamantra. One that delivers the mind is chanting. And intelligence is by constant studying and reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it's a practice. That's what Srila Prabhupada just brought everything systematically, you know. Srila Prabhupada said, every day you have to do 16 rounds and you have to hear and read. Why is that? Because the intelligence becomes powerful by reading. And by chanting, the mind becomes powerful. And by doing service to the Lord, that's why Prabhupada, you know, they encourage, you know, devotional service to the Lord. By doing service, your senses, hands, you know, everything, legs, everything gets purified. So, that is the way, you know. So the body becomes completely from bodily platform to the spiritual. So you know that you are the soul. Because what happens, sometimes, you know, if you take the material energy very lightly, it will cover it over. Just like the dust, you know. The other day I did not use the computer for 2 days, you know. This, whatever the thing, you know, that was a new one or something else. I did not touch the computer. And the third day when I went, the computer and the table is full of dust, you know. Because the window was obviously open, because it's summer, and I leave the windows open. Because the dust is fully covering, and I have to basically clear the dust. Likewise, the dust, you know, of the material contamination will cover the mind, intelligence and the senses very quickly. So that is why constantly it's a daily process. We have to do this. Then cleansing will be done. So in short, what do we understand? So we understand that if we listen to a material mind, we will get an animal body. For sure. Because we are ignorant. If we listen to Krishna's instruction, we get a spiritual. Alright. Now, the other thing in spiritual life is, having talked about the spiritual life, we are telling, oh, one may think, yes, it's very good. That is the way to go, right? That's what we think. Now, this spiritual energy is very powerful. And the material energy is equally powerful, okay? Don't understand material energy. Because we are doing Krishna consciousness with the spiritual energy, we should not think that the material energy is very light. Because again, it's the Lord's energy, which Krishna is saying. So the material energy is also equally powerful. You cannot, because we are tiny, insignificant souls. Because we are doing devotional service, we are not a giant, you know, servants. No, we are tiny, insignificant servants, just like an ant. Okay? Any, the Maya is so powerful, Krishna's energy, any minute it can crush us. It's equally powerful, we have to mind. But sometimes, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that even my disciples, you know, sometimes they underestimate Maya. They think that Maya is material energy. No, Krishna's energy. The moment you become slack, okay? Little bit slack, for example, you may do two rounds in the morning. Okay, I will do in the afternoon two rounds. Why are you? Every day I'm chanting Krishna consciousness. There it will go. It's not a big deal. I'm not doing this while you're chanting. So, afternoon I do two rounds, four rounds, and the night I do. Remaining whatever it may be, you know, 12 months or something. Okay, it's fine. Okay, one day it happens like that. And then the next day I think, oh, this process is working. Okay, why should I, you know, struggle so hard to get up in the morning and do 16 rounds? I can do, and 14 like that, you know. So what happens? Nothing wrong. You're chanting, you're following Guru's order. Nothing wrong at all. Who said it's wrong? But it is a trap for the Maya. So what happens? Little bit you become slack, okay? When you become slack, the Maya means how is it attacked? Does it come as a person and like, no, your mind is a Maya. Our material mind is Maya. Right? It is material mind, you know? Still they are chanting, they are clearing, they are not your spiritual mind. Even if it's developing for a devotee, it is said that Shastra says when a devotee is practicing Krishna consciousness, the spiritual senses are developing. So, mind is material mind only, it's clear, okay? So, Maya attacks the mind and gives sense gratification. That is what is important, you know, for the Maya. So, it offers some sense gratification. Okay, do that. Relax. Take this. Don't worry. See a movie, you know, that's a Bollywood movie, right? There is some Krishna element of Krishna consciousness in it. Avatar or something, you know. Just go and see. Nothing wrong. One movie. That's it. And then what happens? One movie, you are feeding the mind. Once you feed the mind, bring it back. You know, you have to do 5 days of serious Krishna consciousness to bring it back. Once you feed, you know, because the senses, you know, it wants something. The moment you feed the senses, very difficult to, you know, it comes. But you know, you have to have a very great endeavor. So rather, you have a uniform format of life. Where you do a particular thing. If you become slack, then Maya attacks. That's what I said. The point that Krishna, Maya is very, very powerful. So if we associate with the spiritual nature, it's blissful and liberating. But if we associate with the material nature, it is suffering and it causes entanglement. That's it. Because material energy, how it works is, the material energy is spread everywhere. Okay? It is in the form of three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. Okay? It is like a wing. Say, for example, it's like a wing. It is present, not here. Where Krishna is there, Maya is not there. Where Krishna is like sun, there is no darkness. Okay? In this area, in this compound wall, it is Vaikuntha. It won't be there. Because Krishna is fully spiritual, it won't be there. The moment you go outside, in the dance street, then the material energy will be like a air. No? It will be there. Okay? It will be coming in the three modes of energy. Goodness. The moment you interact, seeing someone, or I want to take some coffee, whatever, maybe a movie. So the moment you interact, then according to the scriptures and which Srila Prabhupada says, you are interacting and you are exploiting the material nature. Okay? As long as you don't interact with the material nature, it will come and it will go. You don't have any problem. But the moment you interact, by following this four illicit things, no meat eating, intoxication, sex and gambling. The moment, you know, you try to subject to that, then you are interacting with the material nature. And though, what happens? You are exploiting the material nature. The material nature will also have a reaction. What if you do? It will be a sinful reaction. For which you have to suffer. See? A small enjoyment will cause you a reaction. So we should be like a lotus flower in water. We should be in water, but untouched by water. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness gives a process where you can be in the material nature but not reacting to that. So you will not get any sin, karma free life.
So that is how the material nature is working. So
So having spoken about this material nature, one may think again, my spiritual life is very good. I am to be a devotee. I will be firm devotee. I will not move from Krishna consciousness. 24 hours sadhana. Right? I will not move. Right? Even that is not possible. Why? Why that is not possible? Because spiritual path is not as we think. It is not completely like our process. Because you come to Krishna, you are chanting for a few years, and you become a devotee, that doesn't mean that spiritual life is a better process. No, there are some thorns also. Right? How do you know that? How do you know there is thorns on your way? Because sometimes we think that the things don't happen what however we want, right? Things don't happen what we want. There is always something which does not work, or there is some failures and all that, right? Now, to illustrate this point, there is again a reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. See, how we should study is, we should always see, if Lord is saying this in Bhagavad Gita, or if there is any reference in Srimad Bhagavatam, then what we are saying is right. If there is no reference to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then we are concocting. That is what Srila Prabhupada wanted us. Okay? No concoction of Krishna consciousness. Tell the facts, then everyone will come. So, in regard to this, 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it relates an incident in which, very good incident. For us to know that Krishna consciousness is not easy, but it is good. Okay. What it says is, in that incident in which the demons attack the demigods. Okay, once the demons attack the demigods. Now, although you know the demigods are very, very powerful and godly, but the demons this time had got a vast army power. And because of that, the demigods are almost losing the battle. So what they did, as a devotee, what we will do when there is distress? Immediately we'll go to God, isn't it? Lord. We'll go and say, Lord, please help me. I'm your devotee for some time, please help me. So the demigods are like that. They're devotees of the Lord. So they approach Lord Hari, Vishnu, and they say, come on, the demons are growing in the army is very powerful, and they're very, very difficult for us to fight with them and win them. Can you please help us to win? The Lord said, no. I can help you out to win, but I am not going to do that. So Supreme Lord is telling demigods. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, no. Instead of helping them to win the war, he said, I will give you a suggestion. That much I can do. What I can do is, go with the demons and form a truce with them. Okay, truce means neutral. And wait for a good time because your time is done. Krishna is saying that to the demigods. So, the demigods, are we demigods? No. We are tiny, insignificant soul. Okay? So, can you expect Krishna? Immediately you chant 16 drums. And you come and 10 times you bow down your head into on the floor and bang it and your blood is coming. That means that you are a devotee anymore. Yeah. So, what's the solution then? The solution is during bad times, there will be that because this material world is a duality, place of duality. Goodness and bad also will happen, right? Happiness and distress. It is not that always you have happiness, because you are a devotee. No. It is, distress will also come, like a summer and winter season. It will come. So what we should do during that time, we should remember the Lord's instruction to demigod and wait for good time. That doesn't mean that we can stop Krishna. We have to do. Because that's how it is, Like if there is some good time, bad time, it will come. But we continue, Krishna consciousness, that's it. Now, as aspiring devotees, right? How do we know that we are satisfied or not? We are also practicing Krishna consciousness, right? How do we know we are happy, satisfied or not? Now, to illustrate this, I've got a story to tell you guys, and I'll wind up with that. Won't take more than 10 minutes, and we'll wind up by the time. Now, this story, the name of the story is Crow Story. But don't think that it is the crow story we learned in grade 1. Where there is a pot of water, the water is less, the crow takes pebbles and put it and the water comes, the crow drinks the water and flies away, satisfied. This is not the story I'm going to tell you. Now that is what we learned. But when you say cross, I was thinking, maybe I learned the same thing, you know, putting pebbles and all. Now, anyone read Back to Godhead, January, February 2012 edition? Here? Anyone read that? Come on. No. Okay. Because this is from this. When I took it, I thought, you know, no one should have read it. Because it won't be interesting. That's good. So this I've taken it from the Back to Godhead, okay? Because any story, you know, we may say, I may pick up some story from someone. What is that? The small book, you know. Amar Chitra Katha, right? He said, I can pick it up from that. No, that is not authentic. So Back to Godhead. So it is authentic, you know. Anything concerning Srila Prabhupada's movement is okay, epic. Otherwise, you don't want that. Okay. Now this is from Back to Godhead. If you are not ready, please you can go and read it there and confirm it so that I am also taking it from there. So this story goes like this. There once lived a crow in the forest, okay? It was very happy. Very, very happy, you know, taking all the duties and all that. But until one day, what happened? It saw a swan. Immediately after seeing the swan, the crow felt very, very bad. I am very black. The swan is very, very white. So, the swan is the happiest. I am the saddest. So, he got disgusted. So, what I do? I go and ask the swan. Okay? You know, so what it means is the inner meaning. So many meanings. The inner meaning is we go by the body appearance. I am ugly. He is beautiful. So, he is happy. But anyway, we'll go further, you'll have a good realization. So, what happened? The crow went then, went to the swan and asked, oh, you are so white, so you should be the beautiful person. And you should, because you are beautiful, you should be happy. Okay? Then the swan said, yes, I was thinking like that. But no, because the other day I saw a parrot with two colors. I want only one color. I may be white, but what is the use? Because I got only one color, but the parrot is so beautiful and nice because it has got two different colors. So I felt very bad because the parrot is very happiest. You know? Then the crow said, come on, I will go and find out from the parrot. You know? So it went to the parrot, and the parrot replied, yes, that is true. I got two colors. But until the other day, I saw a peacock. The peacock has got multi-color. I walk only two colors, so I am not happy. The peacock is the most beautiful and the most happiest. So the crow said, okay, we'll find out. We'll go to the peacock and find out. So when they went to the peacock was in the zoo. Okay? And so many people around the peacock looking at the beauty and admiring. Nice. Oh, peacock so nice. Look at how it is, you know. The wing is there and so beautiful, so nice. All people are admiring, you know. The crow felt again a little bit bad. First of all, I am black and all that. I am coming to, you know, and people are admiring. That means, really, the peacock is the happiest on the planet. It's come from. Okay? It made a concoction. It is come from. So it went to the peacock and found out. So you should be happy. I know that you are the happiest, you know. There's no doubt about it. Then the peacock said, yes. I was also thinking like that. But what I felt was that is not true because I was okay. I was happy like this. But one day, you know, one of the person caught me and put it in the zoo. Now my freedom is gone. Then he said, how about all the people are coming and admiring you? The crow said, when I come on the road, people chase me. They say, come on, get away, you know, if you're not a bad omen, get out of the way, you know. But yeah, people come from different houses, right? They come away. They come from different parallel places to the zoo to see you and to admire you. So won't you be very happy? You should be the most happiest, you know. Then the peacock said, yeah, I was thinking like that, but of late, you know, what I am thinking is the crow is the best. The peacock is the best. Why? Because the crow is the only bird which is not caged, it is free. So I lost freedom. So I think that I think for the last 2 days I've been brooding. I want to be a crow. What is the use of this beauty? There's no freedom. So I would like to become a crow. So I'm not at all happy. So you are the best person. The crow is thinking, no, you are the best. So there is a dilemma there. So this has happened. The crow story has happened in our life also, right? It might have happened or it could have happened. Because when we are in the primary school, we think, the secondary school students are very good. What is this? All the time, you know, the teacher is asking me, when we cross the road, the teacher is grabbing my hand. You know, when we go to the toilet, the teacher is saying, come soon and all that. And when we are going to take our lunch, they say, only 15 minutes for that. We are always strict, monitored. So, we are not good. So, look at the secondary school persons, you know, they are going and mingling and all that. Now, the secondary school students, what do they think, you know? We all the time, they have to wear a uniform. You know, we have to study. What is this? You know, there's no freedom. So when you go to the college life, it's easy because you can wear characters. You know? And there is, you can talk to anyone freely and all that, you know. There is no regulations, you know, like this. But after we go to the college, the college student, what does he think? He said, what is this all the time studying? Look at the person who's working, you know. He just works 1 week, Monday to Friday finish. You know, Saturday, Sunday rest. Take the money, enjoy. All the time. What are they studying? All the time, examination, assignments. Too much assignments. I cannot do that. You know? So the college life, you know, is hopeless. So the job is good. But what do the people, when I am working and thinking, this is struggling, you know, materially. Why do I have to work so hard for my family? You know? Responsibility. Any bill come, my hands are shaking. What is a bill? The moment it comes, you know, like the United Energy Mutual, Krishna, should be less than $200. It will be $278. Huh. Then what will be, how much will it be? I said, you know? So we need to know what is exactly. Then we used to think, look at the primary school, so happy, you know. All they have to do is go to the school, study, come back, do some exercise, happy. Such an easy life for the primary school. So what's happening? This is going in circles. So the person who's working is thinking the primary school kids are happy. The primary schools are thinking that the people are working, you know, are working. So this goes on. So what is the solution? The solution is we have to reach a state of self-realization where we can come to a situation where we are happy with all the spiritual endeavors, regardless of the success of failure. You know? For example, we make some sabji, some Saturday sabji. Most of the people eat it. Sometimes they say, oh, I think the salt is too much. We cannot be, you know. It's okay. Sometimes people say, okay, Saturday, what is this? Are you really cooking? It's hopeless. Like that. So sometimes, you know, so we have to come to a state of selfness, state of self-realization or self-satisfaction where success or failure doesn't matter. We have to avoid it. So then, what's the reason? The reason is our present life will be pleasant. If we follow this, our present life will be pleasant. Because most of the time, what we are doing is, when we are in the present, we think of the past, okay? Oh, there was a time in 1977, one day I was very happy. Will the same happiness will continue in 2010, 21st of January, 2012? That is the day I was aspiring. Will I be happy? Oh, the 21st of January, will it be as good as the future days? I will be always happy like the 21st. For example, I'm saying. Because 21st, you know, some of my mother is going to get married. Right? It's always true, you know. So what's happening is, in the present state, we always think of the past and brood over. Or we think of the future. Today is happy. We don't spend the today nicely. We'll think tomorrow, will it be as good as today? Day after tomorrow, will it be as good as tomorrow? Right? So what's happening? We are ruining our present situation. So if the present life or the present state is pleasant, then happy for the past. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections, please. Vyasadeva is already liberated. Right? Now Krishna uses in his service devotees to impart or to spread the Krishna consciousness. So this is the role of a pure devotee. A pure devotee, thanks for this question because one point is striking me. See what happens is, we think that we are independent, okay? We will know. Krishna says surrender, okay? Krishna demands surrender from everyone. Do you know that? Krishna is not asking surrender. When you see Bhagavad Gita, right? When the last one Krishna says surrender or not, he demands. Everyone should surrender to Krishna. But we are not doing it. So what happens? The pure devotee of the Lord, he voluntarily surrenders to the Lord. It is not because of so many impediments, finally surrenders. No. A pure devotee of the Lord voluntarily surrenders to the Lord. Because he wants to be an instrument in the Lord's hand. So also, Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas. Okay? This is a role of successive discipline. See, how do this transcendental knowledge will come from Krishna? It has to come from, isn't it? Right? It has come to Brahma, right? Krishna spoke to Brahma. Brahma spoke to his son Narada Muni. Narada Muni has to speak to Vyasadeva, right? So they are humbly take up this position. So when they take a position, they don't think that I am greater than. Whatever the Guru says should be given due respect. Like, for example, you know, obviously, Srila Prabhupada, one may think, is more powerful than Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Just if you look at Srila Prabhupada, you know, he made 108 temples. He distributed millions of books. And he made thousands of devotees. So he's a pure devotee. So he's better than Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. No problem, I'm just telling the point. Now listen. Because he is following the instruction of the Guru. Likewise, in front of the Guru, Narada Muni is a Guru of Vyasadeva. So, the Guru knows what is to be told. Okay? So they take a humble position and take the instruction. So Narada Muni is saying, and there is also another reason, because what has happened was Vyasadeva has written a lot of Vedic literature, but he has not glorified Krishna. So he's feeling a little bit disheartened at heart. Okay? He's not happy. He does something, you know, Vedas. So Narada Muni is chastising him by saying, in the name of Vedas, you've written a lot of literatures, but you are inducing sense gratification. You are not bringing out the love of God. So you have to write one literature exclusively. So during this chastisement, you know, it was over. Then finally he says, you know, bring down the glories of the Lord. So he's almost finishing off the chastisement. Do you understand? The instruction is there in the form of chastisement, because one should not think, oh, Narada Muni is chastising Vyasadeva, that means Vyasadeva is gone. No. Guru's blessings are firings. Everything is good. If a guru, you know, orders you or shouts at you, it is a blessing. The guru says, rascal, get out, means that's a blessing. It is not that, you know, it is not that the guru is telling, because there is something in that. Okay? So Narada Muni, first of all, we can understand your question that Vyasadeva has taken an humble position of a disciple, and Narada is following the Narada Muni's instruction, and Narada Muni in the line of transcendental disciplic succession is imparting the knowledge given by the Lord to his disciples so that it flows down. And Vyasadeva has, you know, gone down the thing and then it's come to Srila Prabhupada to us. Is that make sense or is that? So yeah, basically not that Vyasadeva does not know, he knows. But he's emphasizing. Now, okay, put it in a simple one. Now you all know about Krishna, right? Why do you have to speak Bhagavatam? Why do you have to glorify Krishna? You are a devotee. You are initiated devotee, isn't it? So you already know the glories of the Lord. Why do you have to tell me the glories? Does it make any difference? Yeah, but then compared to another meaning, what is necessary? Then compared to your guru, what are you?
See, we are looking like that, okay? But look like Krishna's viewpoint. From the Krishna's point, and that's what Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, from the Krishna's point of view, we are all spiritual, we are not the body. From our angle, yes, I am the body. We are seeing like this, but Krishna is seeing like this.
So if you follow Krishna consciousness, you get Krishna's view. You know that I am spiritual. If you think that, you know, from our view, a material view, we are a body. So from the Krishna view, or from the transcendental view, Vyasadeva is nothing compared to Narada Muni. He's a disciple. Just follow the instruction.
So you said that your devotee voluntarily surrenders. Actually, because they love Krishna, that's why they surrender, not voluntarily. Because
of
spontaneous love. If you love somebody, you will do everything.
Yeah, that is right. They have their love, what you call. They humble. They place themselves as an instrument. That's due to humility. Humility and tolerance. These are the two last things needed for Krishna training. You know, there's a two bridges to walk on there. Humility and tolerance. Otherwise you cannot really get the love of God. So they have conquered that.
But they are mature. So like Rabbi. It's so sweet. They have got pure love. So they will do anything.
And they want to be there, happy to be in that position, no? We think, you know, just give us a break, okay? Come on, we are happy. Just break.
We think like that. You know, just we know what we're doing. They're standing fixing up, they're following the regulated principle. What do you want? It's not love. The freedom is given. Lord gives the freedom. You know? Out of love. Because if you want, the Lord is saying, if you want, enjoy. I know, Lord is not forcing. If you want, then come to me. But if you enjoy, you suffer. That is Lord is saying. So who wants to enjoy and suffer? Instead, love and be happy.
Because of your love, Prabhupada gave concession. Instead of 64 rounds, he said, all right, do minimum 16 rounds.
Yeah. In fact, we should be chanting the quotes, yes. 24 hours. Because the moment you are in touch with Krishna, spiritual energy is flowing. The moment you stop chanting, material energy is ready. Don't worry about it. That's also energy. Right? So constantly you touch with the Lord, like an iron rod. Iron rod, if you keep in fire, after some time, the iron rod will become like a fire. So if we are constantly in touch with Krishna, spiritual energy, we also become spiritual. If we move from Krishna, material. Because we are marginal energy of the Lord. We are like a camp on the wall. Wherever there is, we will go. So constant Krishna, then we become spiritual. Okay. Hare Krishna. Gantra Ashima Bhavanti. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaurav Premanti.